podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
All right, I invite you this morning to take your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 15 of Genesis 18. Let's learn a little bit more about the character of God this morning. What we've looked at so far this summer is that God is here, that God knows. And now this morning, our perspective on God is God can. God can. Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby, and when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried to the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed in herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Well, this morning, as we look at this topic of what is true of our God, his omnipotence, the fact that God is all-powerful, that God can, we begin here with verse 12, and Sarah laughs. She laughs. I mean, you see, these were strangers who were traveling past Abraham and Sarah's tent on a hot afternoon, and Abraham offers them some hospitality, sits them under the tree, gets them some food, something to drink, some rest. And they tell Abraham that Sarah is going to get pregnant and give birth in the next year. Oh, and by the way, Sarah is 90 years old. Sarah is great-grandma material, right? Giving birth is about as likely for Sarah as throwing a 100-mile-per-hour fastball, right? Incredible. She's given up long ago. She has made peace in her heart that she's not going to have any children. Abraham's pushing 100 at this time. She is not going to have a son, and she knows it, in spite of what these strangers have to say. And so Sarah laughs. Big mistake. Big mistake. Never laugh at God. So we read in this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 18, the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Now, who is this that's saying this? Well, it's the Lord himself. See, one of these three strangers that has stopped by the tent of Abraham and Sarah is the Lord. Some believe the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, seated there with Abraham, enjoying his food, having discussion with him, and says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Why is Sarah laughing? Doesn't she understand who I am? What I am capable of? The power that resides here? Why would anybody laugh at anything?" knowing who God is and what God can do. And then he says, I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Put it in the bank. This is going to take place, because this is going to take place on the power of God. Now, Sarah is too polite. You know, she denies having laughed. I didn't laugh. And it's, oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. God knows you laughed. But three chapters in the Bible later, and 1 year later, we read these words. Now, the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. And yes, she gave birth to a son. And what was the boy's name? His name was Laughter. Isaac. Laughter, because Sarah had laughed at God. Great words there. The Lord did as he said. The Lord did what he promised. The word says about God, and what we can learn from Sarah's experience here, is nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. That's the question he asks. Is there anything that's too hard for the Lord? Answer the question. There's nothing that is too hard for God. When the Israelites stand at the edge of the Red Sea and the Egyptian army is behind them and there's nowhere that they can possibly turn or go and they're about to be destroyed by the Egyptian army, God spreads the sea wide open and they walk across on dry land. That's too hard. That's impossible. Not with God. Not with God. When Joshua sees the sun going down in the middle of the battle and the moon is beginning to go up in the midst of the battle and it's getting dark and he knows that they're going to have to break for the evening, in his desperation, he prays a ridiculous prayer. He says, O sun, stand still. Now, I know you have felt that way before. You're sitting on the beach. It's coming the end of your vacation. The sun is beginning to go down on your vacation. And you just feel like praying the prayer of Joshua. Sun, stand still. You know, give me some more time. And that was the prayer of Joshua. And the prayer was prayed in faith. And the prayer was prayed according to the purpose of God. And what happened? The sun stood still. Now, that's too hard. That's impossible. Not with God. Daniel spends a night in a den full of hungry lions. And he wakes up in the morning, rested, without a single scratch. That's impossible. No, it's not. Not with God. Daniel's friends are thrown into a furnace, a burning furnace, a furnace that is so hot that the men who throw them in are consumed by the flames. And yet they step out of that furnace unsinged. They don't even smell like smoke. That's too hard. That's impossible. Not with God. Not with God. A ruler comes to Jesus and asks him to heal his daughter. Please heal my daughter, Jesus. By the time Jesus gets to the house, the girl is already dead. So Jesus says to the crowd, go away. She's only asleep. She's just sleeping. And the crowd laughs at him. Big mistake. Big mistake. Don't laugh at God. Remember that. Don't laugh at God. Jesus raises this girl from the dead, and suddenly nobody's laughing anymore. That's too hard. That's impossible. Not with God. You get the point. We could go through story after story after story in Scripture and in the lives of real people, and we would say the same thing. Nothing is too hard for God. Laugh all you want, unbelievers. Nothing is too hard for God. Now look at these Scriptures from Matthew chapter 19. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Luke 18, same instance, Jesus replies, what is impossible with men is possible with God. So, whereas in our realm of thinking, as human beings, we put things in a category called impossible, for God there is no category called impossible. In fact, when you worship a God like our God, who can do anything, there's no such thing as impossible. But we live in a land of human laws. We live in a world where there are limits, and so we put this word impossible on things. And then we laugh when someone says something that seems impossible is possible. But not God. He's not laughing. What was Jesus talking about in these passages, by the way? He was talking about the impossibility of a rich person turning away from the riches in repentance, giving them all away and turning toward God to trust in Him. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about rich people repenting, turning away from their riches and turning toward God. And He says it's impossible to do that. But with God, anything is possible. Number two, everything is possible with God. Everything is possible with God. A 90-year-old woman giving birth is possible with God. A boy with a slingshot defeating a giant is possible with God. An army bringing down the walls of a huge city without firing one shot is possible with God. An altar doused with buckets of water ignites into flame. It's possible with God. Jesus walking on water, and then Peter walking on water for a little while too. It's possible with God. But it's not just what we find in the Bible. I mean, God continues to do the impossible. You've experienced it in your lifetime. I've seen it in my lifetime. Cancer cells dissolved. Alcoholics never taking another drink for the rest of their lives. People's lives being completely turned around. A girl has her arm torn off by a shark and continues to compete successfully as a professional surfer. God can do the impossible. Because when you have a God like ours, there's no such thing as impossible. When will we ever get that into our minds? You know, human beings get pretty excited about our accomplishments. Think about this for a moment. A man walked on the moon. For us, that's like the pinnacle of anything. We've been looking at the moon throughout generations in the history of mankind. We've looked at the moon and said, isn't that cool? And finally, somebody came up with the idea, hey, why don't we go up there? Why don't we go up there and walk around a little bit, you know, and then come back? Let's try it. They finally make it to the moon, and of course we say, well, that's one giant step for mankind, right? Those are the words that we heard, a giant step for mankind. But think about this for a moment. There was probably a time in history when people said, man, that would be impossible to go up to the moon. But somebody went to the moon. It is possible. But then think about God for just a moment, because the moon to God is nothing. It's this tiny, insignificant blip on this puzzle of a huge, massive universe that He's created. Just a small, little nothing. So what seemed impossible to us suddenly became possible to God. It's ridiculous. Of course it's possible with God. Technology has made it possible for us to carry around computer memory in your pocket about this big that used to, years ago, fill an entire room. And now we just carry it around in our pocket. We take it for granted. We've gone from memory that is stored on punch cards to floppy disks to hard drives to servers. And now we talk about it being on the cloud, right? The information, the memory, and just how quickly things have progressed. But God doesn't need to store memory anywhere. He has complete access to everything, all knowledge of all time at the same time, perfectly accessible to Him now. Nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing is too hard. Everything is possible. God is what we call all-powerful, omnipotent, and therefore, the implication of that is, number three, God's plans will succeed. God's plans will succeed. When you have a God who has purposes and plans, and that same God can do anything, what He wants is going to get done. Think about that for a moment. Whatever God wants is going to get done. You know, it's probably a good thing that I'm not omnipotent, because I've had some purposes and plans in my lifetime that were no good. Dirty, rotten plans throughout my lifetime. If I was omnipotent, man, things would be a mess. But see, this is God who's omnipotent, and His purposes and His plans are always good and perfect and upright and righteous. And He is going to accomplish everything that He wants to accomplish. God's plans will succeed. So in Genesis 18, verse 14, the Lord Himself says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And He says, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. Psalm 33, 11 says, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. His plans and purposes will exceed. This verse says that the shelf life on God's plan is eternal. There is no expiration date. When God says something's going to happen, it will happen. Wait for it. Generations of people have come and gone, but the promises and the purposes of God never falter. God's plans, His purposes are about the only things that you can rely on or trust in this world. Not human government, not human justice systems, not human economies, not human promises, nothing. But the plans and the purposes of God will stand firm for all eternity. So a good thing to keep in mind is this. If you want to find success in life, if you want to be successful, if you want to be on the winning team, get with God's program. Because His plans will succeed. If you want to succeed, get in God's program, and then you will succeed. That's the truth. Defying God's plan is like running on a train track into the teeth of a locomotive and saying to yourself, I'm going to make it. This will work. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. If you want to succeed, board the train. Get on the train with God and follow His plans and let Him take you where He's going, because His plans are going to succeed. If you go at cross purposes to God's plan, you're not going to make it. Guaranteed. Get with God's program, because all of God's plans will come to pass. He's all powerful and we are not. So with a view of a God who's omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, those are the three words that we're going to throw out here. Theological words that simply mean God is here. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows everything. There's nothing that's beyond His knowledge. He knows what you're thinking. He sees into your heart. He knows it all. And then He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. So you take a God like that. He is here, He knows, and He can do it all. How should it affect the way that we conduct our everyday business? In other words, what does it matter today that our God can? Well, you know, the truth of the matter is this. Because God can, you can. Because God can, you can. Number one, you can dream impossible dreams. You can dream impossible dreams because our God can. Sometimes I think we play it a little bit too safe. We do what is expected of us in this world. We get by one day at a time. We rarely stop to ask questions like, where is all this going? Where's my life headed to? What does God want to do through me? What kind of impossible things might God be planning that He wants to include me in? And we neglect taking the time to just stop for a minute and dream about where God might be taking things. And we just kind of go through the motions and live our lives and do what's expected and pay the bills. But God wants us to stop. Because He is a God who can do the impossible. He says, dream a little bit. If you have a God who can do all things, get on His team and you can do all things. Why live in the realm of the possible when your God does the impossible? So what is your impossible dream? What is your impossible dream? You know, that dream you've been putting off, that'll never happen. I can't accomplish that. What is it? Maybe it's something simple. Maybe it's a broken relationship that needs to be repaired. Just a broken relationship that desperately needs repairing. And you've been putting it off and putting it off because, that's not going to happen. God can. Will you start dreaming about how He can fix things in a moment? Maybe it's a job change that you've not allowed yourself to think seriously about. You know, maybe God has something different for you and you haven't even allowed yourself to dream. Maybe it's a ministry you can see in your mind's eye, something that God is concocting, and then He wants you to get on His team and do something great for Him. Maybe it's serving here in the church in a capacity that you've not served before, but you know that if you were able to do that here, that you could make a great difference, but you're holding back because, well, you know, I'm not that important. God can. If you will dream impossible dreams, because we have a God of the possible. Sarah laughed. She laughed. Sometimes impossible dreams get laughed at. Sometimes we laugh at our own dreams. You know, maybe we know that we are on the right track when we do get laughed at. You know, if we bring an idea before someone and they laugh at it, that'll never happen. Maybe then we know we're on the right track. God's not laughing. He's not laughing at all. Whatever it is, if it's in accordance with His will, if it aligns with His plan, it is not impossible. In fact, it's probable. because God can make your impossible dream come true. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 5. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. We know that we have what we asked of Him. If it's prayed according to His will, He hears us. Now, don't get me wrong. This verse doesn't say that God is a genie, okay, and that He will grant any wish that we have. Because, let's be honest, a lot of our wishes come from our flesh. But God is pursuing His purpose in this world. He has a great design and a grand plan in this world. He wants people to grow to be more like Him. He wants people who are lost to be found. He has this great plan for the brokenness of this world to be fixed, to be put back together, that there will be relationships restored. God is working toward this. This is His plan and His purpose. And if you ask anything in accordance with that plan or that purpose, look out. Look out, because God will do the impossible. He will give you whatever you ask, even if people laugh at you for asking. You can pray impossible prayers because we have a God who can. You can pray impossible prayers. Jesus met a family that was dealing with a demon-possessed man. And as he was dealing with this demon-possessed son within this family, the father of this boy asked Jesus a question. He said, "Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Hey, look at that question. "Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us, Jesus." All right? Well, Jesus answered and said, "If you can, if you can." Everything is possible for him who believes. This was Jesus' answer. This is what you're telling me? If you can, help us? Everything is possible for him who believes. There's a God who can do anything, Jesus was saying, and here I am. So don't ask if you can, and don't pray, "God, if you can." But if you're praying in the purpose and the plans of God, say, "God, since you can, here's my prayer. Because you are omnipotent and you can do all things and you have a purpose and a plan, and since I believe that what I'm asking for fits into that plan, since you can, God, do the impossible. Do something that people will laugh at and make it come true. And do it for your glory, God." Immediately, the father's boy exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." The boy was healed. Now, that may be the impossible prayer that we need to begin with right there. "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You know, I believe to a certain extent, but I have some unbelief. Lord, help me to recognize who you are, that you are the God of the impossible, that you can. Help that to soak down into my brain and into my heart that I have a God who is omnipotent." That may be the impossible prayer that we need to begin with. "God, help me in my unbelief." And then we can dream and we can pray the impossible. Number three, you then can trust God for the impossible. If you're going to dream the impossible dream and you're going to pray the impossible prayer, then trust God for the impossible. Begin to believe that He can do what He wants to do in your life. And then number four, you can step out to do the impossible. Do you see how it goes from your dream eventually to action? Go from the dream to the prayer to the trust to the step of faith to do the impossible. Now, what is the goal that you are reaching for? What is the goal? What is the impossible dream that God has placed in your heart that you haven't allowed yourself to believe? Number one, if it's in accordance with His plan, don't give up on it. Don't laugh at it. Number two, begin to dream more. Think it through. Envision it. What does it look like? Then begin to pray it. "God, do this thing. Bring this about, God." And then trust in Him. And break it down into some steps. What is the first step toward the accomplishment of this dream? And then take it. Take it. You'll be amazed at what God will do. What is the temptation that you've been giving up on trying to defeat? You know, you have this temptation that pops up over and over again, and you've been trying to defeat this, and you've given up. It's possible to defeat that temptation. It is, because we have a God who does the impossible. Make an appointment, talk to somebody about it, get going, take the first step toward achieving the impossible, and trust in God. And when it is God's plan, you will be amazed at what He can do. with God, nothing is impossible. So let's dream. Let's pray. Let's trust. Let's step out in faith as individuals, as a church, because the impossible is waiting. It's waiting for you to get laughed at, not by God, but by others. It's waiting for you to go for it, to succeed, to get on board with God, because God can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, there have been many times in my life, and I'm sure in the lives of these who I've been given the privilege of speaking to this morning, that it's true in our lives that there have been some things that we have said are just impossible. And Lord, that we have run into walls, heartaches, difficulties along the road to doing what we thought was right. Father, readjust our thinking this morning. Help us to embrace the fact that we have a God who can do all things. Let it sink into our hearts and into our souls that God is all powerful. And Father, help us to trust in you more fully, that we might dream and pray, that we might trust and that we might step out in faith. Help us, Lord, to begin to dream again, impossible dreams that can only come from a God of the possible. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.